So yesterday we learned Hani Shlosha Chamisha Meshiva Kenegin Mi, and the question was, why do we call up three people to the Torah on a weekday, five people on a Yontif, and seven people on Shabbos? And Tosis here is a little bit perplexed. He says, why didn't the Gemara ask a question about Shisha Shel Yom HaKippur? And the Gemara later on is going to ask that question, but in the initial question, somehow the six kruim of Yom HaKippur was omitted. Then he asks, as far as Rosh Chodesh is concerned, what we call a Dalet kruim, that he says, I can give you an answer. Why didn't the Gemara ask about the significance of the number four with regard to Rosh Chodesh? And he says, Kimle le Gemara, the Gemara knew for sure, Shetam shel Musaf, that because on Rosh Chodesh we have a korban Musaf, Roy la Hosif lo Ode Echad Bekriyas HaTorah from the weekday. In other words, we jack it up from three to four on a day that has Musaf. And that was poshut to the Gemara. So for example, on Chol HaMoed we call four people because of the Musaf. On Rosh Chodesh we call up four people. That was Kimle, that was known to the Gemara. Avalahosif ad kidei sheyikru chamisha, to add five, vishisha, which the Gemara is going to raise later about Yom Kippur, vishiva here, biglal yisum alocha, kareis oskila, ein zeta maspik. The Gemara doesn't think that the increment in yisum alocha, the severity of yisum alocha, would be enough to justify adding kruim beyond the number four. So basically the Gemara operates with the premise that the basic number of kruim is three plus one for musaf, and anything beyond that has to be explained, has to be justified. Now, how does the Gemara in fact justify these pumped up numbers, five, six, and seven? So the Gemara has a whole discussion here about roe pnei hamelech, and Rashi learns that the Roe Pnei HaMelech is a reference to Achashverosh, the king Achashverosh. And the Sarei HaMelech Achashverosh are Yeshiva Roe Pnei HaMelech. There were seven of them. And of the seven, Chamisha Mitochem Chashuvim Yoseh. And then Rashi adds the phrase, V'tiknu Kenegdom Me'ein Dvar Malchus. Now Tosis is not happy with this, because how could it be they made a takana keneged the melech rasha of Achashverosh, and therefore a Beinutam substitutes a pasuk in Yirmiyah in Perek Nun Beis and Melachim in Melachim Beis Perek Chaf Hey. There it says Shehigla Osam Nebuchadnezzar leMelech Bavel, that they were sent apparently by Nebuzaradan, who was the leader of the people, and he persecuted the Jews, and they were sent to Bavel. And the Melech that we're talking about is Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. And there were Shlosha Shomrei Pesach HaZora, Chamisha Roed Pnei HaMelech, Shiva Noshami Roed Pnei HaMelech. The Ritva quotes Yerushalmi, that seems to indicate that Rashi is correct. And the reason for that is that the Rabbanu wanted to be mitaken Gimel, Hay, and Zion of Kriyas HaTorah, Kidei Levatel, Gimel, Hay, Zion, Shel Osa Rasha. So Dafka, because it was the king Achashverosh who signed the decree about the annihilation, that's why we want to counter his power by calling up the same number of kruim to the Torah. Because of the Ritva adds, Shanochel Nefarish Lo Tiknu Keneged Hasarim Shel Achashverosh Ela Keneged Osam Shekenegdom Bashamayim, meaning that the Sarim down here, even in the case of Melech Achashverosh, have their parallel, the corresponding Sarim up in Shamayim, those are angels, and Malchusa Derekia Ke'en Malchusa Di'ara. And up in Shamayim, there is an organization of Malachim, which is similar, right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malachim, Malachim, similar to the organization of Sarim around the Melech Basar Vidam. Now, one or two other points that I found here. First of all, the Gemara says B'Shabbos Memarim Lavo, which sounds like we come early on Shabbos to davening. Now, in the case of Yontif, we want to come late to help our wives so they can prepare the Su'uda. In the case of Yom Kippur, there was no preparation of a Su'uda, hence we come early. On Shabbos, though, why Memarim Lavo? It's not like Yom Kippur. We do want to help our wives prepare for Su'uda Shabbos. So the Rambam, when he codifies this halacha, in Siman Reish Pei Aleph, he brings the Mordechai, that on Shabbos, Ma'achrim Lavo LeBeis HaKnesses. That's not what it says in our Gemara, am I right? We don't have Ma'achrim Lavo.
No.
We have Memarim Lavo, am I right? Double check me on that. So that's interesting, that there might be an element here of Ma'achrim Lavo LeBeis HaKnesses on Shabbos. Now he has a footnote here that adds a whole other perspective on why we would come late to davening on Shabbos as opposed to, let's say, a weekday where we want to come early. And he says, with regard to the carbon tamid that's brought daily on the weekdays, the pasuk says baboker, which implies that the tamid is brought early. But on Shabbos, when it comes to the Korban Tumin on Shabbos, nemar u biyom ha-Shabbos. It doesn't say baboker, but rather biyom ha-Shabbos. Mashma ichur. That somehow the Korban Tumin is brought a little bit later. So that's a question in my mind. Why we want to sort of have a memory, a zikaron to the Korban Tumin, and the Korban Tumin is brought a little bit later, and therefore the Ramah codifies like the Mordechai Ma'achrim Lava. Then we had a braisa that said, "Hakol olim leminyan shiva, afilu katan, afilu isha." So, you may remember that we had a machlokas here between the Meiri and the Magen Avraham. Again, that's a tremendous historical par. But the Meiri seems to assume that the first ola has to be a gadol, and that's mekayim the takon of Moshe Rabbeinu that has to be only one karu, and then we could go on with a katan. The Magen Avraham, on the other hand, says we need a minimum of three gedolim, and beyond the third, whatever it is on those days that we go beyond three kruim, then you could add a katan. But then we saw something very strange, that the Magen Avraham says that the katan is ola l'minyan shiva, he's part of the kruim, but yet at the same time we cannot be yotze through his kriya. So I saw the Mishnah Berurah that he writes that we have to read along with him, or the Baal Koreh should read along with him. I remember in Boston, the Rav used to read along with the Baal Koreh, but sometimes the Rav's voice was so loud he would drown out the Baal Koreh. So in this case, we don't want the Kutton's voice to drown out the Malkore, because we cannot be Yotze with the Kutton. Now, as far as the Bracha is concerned, that's a little bit perplexing. How could the Kutton make the Bracha if he's not a Bar Chiyuv and be Motzi us in the Bracha? But again, we have to work out all the glitches here. But one thing I can promise you, there are two dinim over here. There's one din of Olam Inyan Shiva, and there's another din in being Yotze the Mitzvah of Kriya. Now, one of the issues we're going to talk about in Mitzvah Shem today, about Kriyas HaTorah, whether it's a Chovas Yachid or a Chovas Tzibur. If it's a Chovas Yachid, the Magen Avraham makes a lot of sense that we surely don't want to be Yotze through the Kriya of a Katan. But if it's a Chovas Tzibur, then once the Katan is Olam Inyan Shiva, then you might suggest, it doesn't have to be so, that once he's Olam Inyan Shiva, that's enough for the Tzibur to be Yotze their Chiyuv. It's not a Chiyuv on the Yachid. And he writes here that according to the Magen Avraham, Tzarech sheyikru shlosha rishonim gedolim, mishum shezeh ikar akriya, and he means the takon of Ezra, v'yach achar kach yochel lahashlim, to get the numbers jacked up and beyond the three, is we can call up Nashim Uktanim. And this again takes us back to the major problem, the major point, the fundamental point that once the Chazal made the takana of three kruim, that's really the takana for Kriyas HaTorah straight across the board. And we're always going to look for explanations as to why we jack it up beyond three. So the Takanas Ezra was basically the three, and after that we have Musaf, and we have Keneged Roy Pnei HaMelech, and so forth and so on. Now he quotes the Ran over here. He says, "Bizman shahayu mevarchim gam harishon rakam rishon va'achron v'ashar yotzim bebirchas. Some lo yu korim leishol katan larishon liachron." So the Ran insists that we would call up an isha or a katan only sandwiched in between the rishon and the achron. But the rishon and the achron who recited the bracha, they would have to be gedolim and they would have to be on noshim. Because again, a woman is exempt from Talmud Torah and a katan is exempt from all mitzvahs. So you can't be motzias with a bracha. But then he says, "Aval hayom shetiknu chacham shekol echad mevarach li'atzmo, that isha katan korim gam rishon li'achron." And I think what he's saying is that since each one of the olim are reciting a bracha, then somehow the tzibur could be yotze with any of the other brachos, as long as there's one gadol who's reciting the bracha. Ubimeiri mechalik sheaf bizman shayu mevarchim rak rishon v'yachim mikomakon katan yochel likor rishon v'yachim mishum sheyesh lo shaychus b'talmud Torah v'acherim mitzuvim lelamdo. And I assume he would apply the same logic to a woman, that she also has a chelik in Talmud Torah, although she's not obligated in Talmud Torah, but there's certain parts of the Torah that she has to learn. But a woman should not read the Torah because of Kavod HaTzibur. And he quotes from Yaakov Emdin, "Rakecha di efshar." If you have the possibility of calling up a man, then you have to call up a man. Hainu sheyesh mi sheyikra. Achim ein gadol. If there's no male who's a gadol, sheyodeh likro. V'yesh isha habekira. Tikrahi. So the women's libbers would be very happy with this, Rav Yaakov Emden. Okay, now we get to our sugya for today, correct? Yeah, for sure. So let's see where we're up to. So we'll all be on the same page. So we're on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan. So Torah Rabbanan, actually, we did already. There's no need to repeat that. So we'll start from Yibayim. So let's see if we can count up from the bottom of the Amud on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara has a suffix maftir. Now the maftir was added as an introduction to the Kriyas Haftorah from the Navi. And we'll see exactly why in just a minute. Ma'u sheyala l'minyan shiva. Since he's reading a minimum of three psukim, and we call him up to the Torah, so he's reading from the Torah itself, can we calculate him as the number 7 in the 7 kruim? Now, offhand, you and I would say, why not? I mean, although we don't do this today, but why not? I mean, after all, he's no slouch. He's not doing anything different than all the other kruim. But perhaps what the Gemara is saying is that once they required Shiva kruim, then the parsh itself becomes the entity of Talmud Torah. And although Rav, if you recall, was of the opinion that there's something called Dilug, and we could repeat Psukim, but the repetition of Psukim is only within the framework of reading that parsha. Now we're repeating Psukim that's already beyond the completion of the reading of the parasha. So we've already completed the reading of the parasha. Now the maftir is reading, rereading psukim from the parsha that we've already read. So there's no reason why he should be upgraded to be part of the shiva. And the Gemara records machlokas about this point. Rav Huna v'Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, chad omer ole, v'chad omer eino ole. Madi omer ole, according to the opinion who says we count him in the Sheva, de hakari. He's reading from the Torah, and all we need is seven people reading from the Torah. Why should he be inferior just because he's not, just because he's going to read the Haftorah from the Navi? Adarabah, you know, he's even on a higher level. He's not only is he reading from Torah Shemaksav, from the Chamisha of Kumshi Torah, he's also reading from Navi. So why should you bump him off? Umad Yomer Eino Lo Ola Kida Ula. The Omar Ula Bipne Maha Maftir Bin Navi Tzok Shiyikr Bitar Tchila. Why do we have this maftir? I mean, the Navi, I understand. There was a minhag to read from the Navi. But why does the maftir the Navi have to read from the Torah? And the answer is, v'nei kovod haTorah. Now we'll try to explain what kovod haTorah means here in this context. And Rashi has a long presentation. But the point is that this kriya is not part of the basic fabric of kriya. It's an additional kriya for kovod haTorah. It's not part of the reading of the parasha that we have to read. It's a separate addition for kovod haTorah. Now Rashi explains, what's the kovod haTorah over here? This is about seven lines up before the end of the page. He says, Shelo yehei kovod Torah v'kovod Navi Shaveh. In other words, we have to make some sort of a heker, because otherwise it looks like, you know, we read the Torah, now we're reading Navi. I mean, what's the difference between this and that? And we're upgrading the status of the Kriyas HaNaviyim to the equal status of the reading of the Torah. That's not kovod haTorah. Navi does not have the same kedusha as the Torah itself. And now it looks like it's Shavah B'Shavah. So what do? We require that the Maftir bin Navi should also read part of the Torah, to indicate that first and primarily he has to read from the Torah. And that gives cover to the Torah. Says Rashi, the cave under Mishum Kovod haTorah, since his reading of the Torah is not part of the fabric of the Kriyas HaParashah, but rather it's a Machayim of Kovod haTorah. It's not part of the chov of Kriyas HaTorah. Lav mi minyanahu. Therefore, we don't count it in the minyan of Shiva. Now, here, I want to quote to you the Bach. The Bach says the following. He says the following. Kevan shebetorah korim esrim v'echad psukim l'zayin gavri. So on Shabbos we call up seven people, each of which is going to read three psukim minimum. That's 21 minimum. Is kmochem b'navi. Also when we get to the Kriyas HaNavi, ein poksim v'esrim v'echad psukim. So the Navi that's read as part of the Haftorah should also reflect that same magical number, 21. And this really supports Rashi, that Rashi says we have an issue here of kovod haTorah, because now that we've equated the psukim of Torah Shemitzah that are read in the Kriyas HaParashah to the exact number of the psukim in the Haftorah's Navi, then it becomes Shavah B'Shavah. And that's pogeh, that sort of undermines the kovod haTorah. We want to give Torah a superior status, and that's what we're going to have to do by adding another kriya from the parasha, which is called maftir. Now, once you add the kriyas hamaftir, which is again, as any kriya, has to be a minimum of three psukim, so we had seven kruim, each of which read three psukim, so now we got it up to 21. Now we're going to add three psukim for the maftir, that's going to jack it up to 24. And the Gemara has a problem with that. After the Gemara establishes Kevan de Mishum Kovod haTorah Hu Leminyan Lo Solik, it's not counted in the seven. The Gemara asks the following: Meisvei Hamaftir Ben Novi Lo Yifchos Mi Esrei VeEchad Psukim Keneged Shiva Shekar BaTorah. So we have the minimum requirement of 21 psukim in the Torah, and in a corresponding requirement of 21 psukim in the Novi. V'Yem Isa, but if you're telling me that the maftir, which adds three psukim, is three psukim beyond the 21. It's not the three psukim within the body of the of the seven kruim. Then esher v'arba'ah. Then the minimum number of psukim that we're going to read in the Torah is 24. That's 21 plus 3. And now the navi should be again 24 psukim that correspond to the 24 psukim of the Torah itself. Why does the Brice establish that the minimum number of psukim for a navi is only 21 and not 24? So I just want to point out that what I told you before has to be corrected. Because I told you before that the suffix in Gemara as to whether or not the maftir is Ol Laminyan Shiva is because once Rav had established that there's a halacha of Dilug, so the maftir is going to repeat Psukim, and the Gemara thinks that maybe that's a part of the Kriyas HaParsha. But the truth is that you see for this Gemara that if you hold like that opinion that the maftir is Ol Laminyan Shiva, then he would not be repeating Psukim, but rather he would be reading the last three psukim to make up to 21 psukim. And therefore the Gemara has no problem with the fact that the Navi, the Haftar of the Navi requires 21 psukim. That exact corresponds to the 21 psukim of the Kriyas HaParsha. The problem is if you hold Eino Ol Laminyan Shiva, which means that the Maftir is going to read psukim that were already read, then we're going to jack up the number from 21 to 24. So basically, when the Gemara asks, getting back to the Boilu, Maftir Mao Shia Laminyan Shiva, the Gemara wants to know not only is he counted as one of the seven kruim, but rather whether his reading from the Torah could be incorporated into the 21 psukim. And he's not going to repeat psukim. So this Gemara of Iboilu is not based on Rav's halach of Dilu. Now, if you hold that the maftir is not Ol Laminyan Shiva, which is our minon, then you have to go back to Rav's halacha of Dilug, and I'm wondering if maybe Shmuel in this case would also accept Dilug. Shmuel doesn't want to accept Dilug when you're within the framework of the minimum number of psukim, so you don't want to repeat psukim. Each pasuk deserves its own right, and therefore Shmuel is going to cut psukim in half, as we said before. But in the case of the maftir, if he's not Ol Laminyan Shiva, maybe even Shmuel could agree that we can add psukim that are basically a repetition. So now the Gemara gives the following answer. Why is it that the minimum requirement of psukim for Navi is 21 and not 24? And the Gemara says, Kevan to be shum kavanat Torah hu. Because the only reason we're adding these three psukim is only because of kavanat Torah. It's not part of the Ikra Chiyuv, and here we're going to turn to Daf Chav Gimel and Beis. Is Kenego Nami Lo Boy. We don't need to jack up the number of psukim in Navi to correspond to the 24 psukim. In fact, we are going to read 24 psukim in the Torah, but they divide up into two different entities. There's the basic entity of the essential kriya, and that's made up of 21 psukim. And then there's an additional three psukim in order to make a hevdel, you know, to make a heker for kavanat Torah, and that's a separate entity into itself. So the Navi doesn't have to reflect the extra three psukim. Maskif la Rava. Rava wants to know about this brisa that requires 21 psukim in Navi, in the Haftorah of the Navi. Is it really so? Okay, now the Gemara now is going to quote the Haftorah for Parshas Tzav, which comes from Sefer Yirmiyah.
Zion.
And the pasuk says, "Alo seichem safu." Now, if you count the number of the psukim in the haftorah, you will not reach the number 21. Delo avyon esrim v'chad. So, why is it that for Parshas Tzav we're going to read 19 psukim instead of 21 psukim? So, Gemara answers, and this is a familiar logic that we've seen in the past. Shiny hasam the solik inyana. You may recall that we discussed the Kriya Parshas HaMolek. Now, we always require a minimum of 10 psukim, even when there are only 3 kruim. But when it comes to Parshas HaMolek, which is read On Purim, we only read 9 psukim. We ask, how can we read 9 psukim and not 10 psukim? We need a minimum of 10. So we answer the solik inyana, meaning that since the parsha has a theme, and that's the theme of Melchemes HaMolek, we complete that theme as soon as we read 9 psukim. So there's no need to add a 10th pasuk. So there's no gzeres hakosa that you require 10 psukim, but rather 10 psukim represents a thought unit, we called it a lesson plan. But if you could have a complete parsha in 9 psukim, then it would suffice to read 9 psukim. The same logic applies to the Haftorah. That if the Haftorah has a complete unit, even if it's less than 21 psukim, for example, in the case of Yirmiyahu Navi, for the Haftorah Parshas Tzav, and all we need there in that case is 19 psukim, then in Ochinami, we would suffice with 19 psukim. But the assumption here is that Hechad Lo Solik Inyana, if you haven't completed a thought unit, then the absolute minimum requirement of psukim is 21. Lo? Is that really so? We cannot read less than 21 psukim. Vomar Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Rav Shmuel Bar Abba records the following story. Zimnin Sagin, on a number of occasions, it wasn't just one occasion as a fluke, but I saw this as a consistency. Havikayim Nekami to Rav Yochanan. I was davening together with Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe I was the Shliach Tzibur davening in the minyan of Rabbi Yochanan. And perhaps I got called up as the maftir. And at the time of the Kriyas HaFtorah, Ki Havi Karina Nasar Psukim, as soon as I finished 10 Psukim, on a lawn, he banged on the table, Rabbi Yochanan, Nafsiku, and he stopped us. And he said, just read 10 Psukim. And according to the testimony of Rav Shmuel, this happened even in the middle of an inyan. It was not a complete theme. So the Gemara now introduces another element into the equation. And that's going to impact on the minimum number of psukim they have to read in the Haftorah. And that's called the Turgamon. And you may remember that we had a whole discussion about two people reading the Haftorah simultaneously. Normally we would apply the principle of Trei Koli Lo Mishtamai, but we allowed it. And the reason we allow it is because the Kriyas HaFtorah is a secondary kind of Kriya. It's not the primary Kriya of the Parsha. It's a minhag to read the Navi. And we weren't makpid if two people would read the Navi simultaneously. But when it came to Turgamon, which means to understand what the Navi is saying, that already jacks us up to the level of Torah Shebaal Peh. There they were very makpid that you shouldn't have two Turgamons reading simultaneously. Now, if there's going to be a Turgamon, now imagine what happens. Every pasuk that's being read from the Navi, in the Haftorah of the Navi, is now being translated by the Turgamon. So instead of reading, let's say, 10 psukim, now you're reading 20 psukim. And therefore, the Gemara answers, Makom Sheish Turgamon, Shaini, it's different. Ditani, Rav, Tachlifa, Bar Shmuel, Lo Shanu, when do we require a minimum of 21 psukim? Elim b'makom shein turgamon, if there's no miturgamon. But after b'makom shein miturgamon posek, then you could terminate the Haftorah even with less than 21 psukim. So what this is all about, as Rashi points out here, Dibra Maskel Makom, is it's about what's called Tircha Ditzibura. Now, I never understood, honestly, how it is that some of the Haftorahs, especially for Ashkenazim, it always says, Khan Maskila Masfardim, three paragraphs later. But some of the Haftorahs just go on and on and on. I mean, they're like endless.
Last week's parsha was shorter.
It was relatively short, but some of the parshas are just unbelievable. For me personally, it's a problem. Why is it a problem for me? Because we want to finish davening at a certain time, and I have to give the drasha before Musaf. So if there's a long Haftorah, it cuts down to my time for my drasha.
But I think
your idea is sharper.
No, but Ashkenazim made it.
I try to make it as sharp and as short as I can.
Yeah, but the Ashkenazim make it longer so they can spend more time in the Kiddush Club.
Ah, that's it.
There's two types of Jews: those who don't.
He's from Clan Park.
Yeah, those are from those who are Haftorah Jews and those who are Kiddush Club Jews.
Two points here in the footnotes. He quotes the Sifsei Chachamim, which he quotes Kisei there, and he says the following: that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan stopped Reb Shmuel after 10 psukim is because if there was a maturgamon, so then you end up with 20 psukim, and 20 psukim, he says, is enough. Even though, again, we wanted to get to 21, and according to the Ran, he says that he should read the last pasuk a second time and repeat it in order to get the number up to 21. So he's going to read 10 psukim, translated each with a targum, and then he's up to the number 20, and then he should repeat the last pasuk again to jack it up to number 21. So again, in Kriyas HaTorah, the minimum number of psukim that we read is 10, unless there's a solik inyana like Vayom HaMolek on Purim, where we read 9 psukim. In the case of Haftorah, although the minimum number generally is 21 psukim, we have a number of exceptions to that rule. The first exception would be the 19 psukim in the Haftorah of Tzav from Yirmiyah. There, it's solik inyana. And the second exception to the rule is going to be when there's a mitargamim. So let's just summarize 3 dinim, which he does here for me very nicely in the footnote. He says, din number one, the first principle is the following. B'makom shelo solik inyana v'ein turgamon. So you're in the middle of a theme and there's no turgamon, then you need 21 psukim in the Navi. B'makom shelo solik inyana, if you completed a theme, even if there's no turgamon, you don't have to read 21 psukim, and you stop as soon as you finish the inyan. And thirdly, b'makom sheyesh turgamon, because we can integrate the psukim of the miturgamon so that the haftarah will not be too long. And this, Rav Moshe, leads us to the new Mishnah. This Mishnah is one, yeah, correct, very, very famous Mishnah. And this is the Mishnah called Dvarim Shebekedusha, or Dvar Shebekedusha, and the requirement of Asara. And it's interesting, we're going to learn 2 types of chidushim. We're going to learn 1 chidush from what the Mishnah does say, and then we're going to learn another chidush from what the Mishnah does not say. In other words, there are a number of cases which are omitted from the Mishnah, where we know that we require asara, and the question is why the Mishnah omitted them. And then there are a number of cases in the Mishnah where we never have anticipated that you require asara, and yet the Mishnah tells us we require asara. So, like, just to give you 1 example, for, you know, as a preview of coming attractions, we're going to have something called Nichum Avelim, that right after the Kvura Sames, we're going to line up in a Shura, and the Avelim are going to pass through this line, and then the people standing on the Shura will be Menachem, them are going to require that the Shura be Asara, 10 people. Now, again, if you don't have 10 people, what are you going to do in that case? And that's what we're going to have to discuss. Okay, so now we embark upon the Mishnah of Dvar Shebekedusha. The first case that's enumerated here in the Mishnah is perhaps the most complicated of them all. So he starts you off with the rough one. And it's called Ein Parsin Al Hashma, which is called Parsin Al Hashma, Pachos Me'asora, with less than 10 people. Now, what is Parsin Al Hashma? So you'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Minyan Habala Beis HaKnesses, let's say you have 10 people who came into the shul, Li'achar Shekaru HaTzibur Es Shema, and they came in late, so they didn't hear Baruchu, and they didn't read, you know, the brachas of Kriyat Shema, they didn't read Kriyat Shema together with the Tzibur. So Rashi says, in such a case, we have something called parsin al hashma. The word parsin means a division, like a fraction, a segment. And what do? We have sort of like a short, abridged version of the tzibur, of that which is critical for the tzibur. Omer echad, one guy gets up, the omer kaddish, he starts with kaddish, there's a chatzi kaddish, and then he recites baruch hu. And then, why is it called parsin al hashma? Because he recites bracha rishona shebekriyat shema, the first bracha yotzer ma'oros of kriyat shema, and parson lashon chatzi dover, because he's not going to recite the second bracha of kriyat shema, he's not going to recite the brachos after kriyat shema, he's going to go straight to chazaras hashatz, and then there'll be a kedusha, and that's the end of the story. Now here's the question that we want to address: why is it that for the sake of these people who missed Kaddish, they missed Kedusha, they missed Baruch Hu, and they came late to the Beis HaKnesses, Why do we recite the first bracha of Kriyat Shema? Vusap is the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. And why is that? Why is that critical? So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wouldn't there be a problem if that's between the Shema and Shmoneh Esrei? Isn't there a problem? Aren't you supposed to have Geula before Shema?
Again, everybody has fulfilled his mitzvah as a yachid, but he's missing the Kiyum Tzibur. So this whole enterprise.
So this is more important than continuing straight from into
No. Again, he everything was done by the Kiyum
Tzibur. Right. Too. Oh, okay. So this right. is all
everything is done. But now we want to add the Kiyum Tzibur, okay. And for the sake of the Kiyum Tzibur, we just need really Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and Kiddusha. So those are the three elements: Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and Kiddusha. But in order to achieve Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and Kiddusha, we need Parson Malashma. We need to read the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. Again, it's the second time that they're reading the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. But now they're reading it as part of an enterprise, part of a framework which is called Parson Malashma. Now, what is the purpose of this recitation of the first bracha of Kriyat Shema? And number two, what is the language of Parson? We saw that Rashi says that Parson means Chatzi Dover. Okay, so that's not universally accepted. There are other opinions as to what the word parsim is, and that goes back to the time of the Gaonim. So in order to understand what the word parsim means according to the Gaonim, and also in order to understand what the significance of Birchas Kriyat Shema, in this case the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, we're going to have to look at two things. Number one, we're going to have to look at Tosfos. There are two Tosfos in here that are very important. One is Ein Parson, the other is Ein Parson. And we have a summary of some of the Rishonim here in the Yalkut HaBi'urim. Now, Rashi gives you the impression, when you open up Rashi, Dibra Masala in Parson Ashma, the first words in Rashi are Minyan Habola Beis HaKnesses Li'acher, etc. How many people came late according to Rashi?
I mean,
10. That's what it indicates. And it would seem that according to Rashi, this entire enterprise of Parson Ashma is only justified if you have 10 people who need the Parson Ashma. But if you take a look at Tosus, Dibra Masala in Parson Ashma, he's going to have another three opinions, plus a different opinion in the name of Rashi from one of the Talmidim of Rashi. His first opinion, which is Rabbeinu Tam, you'll see about five lines down in the second Tosfos V'Ein, is Dibishiva Shaloshavu. If you have seven people who did not hear Kaddish and Kiddusha, then you already set up this Parson Al Shema with the Baruch Hu and the Birchas Kriyat Shema, etc., etc. And now you need a minyan im shalosh acherim, and that's enough. So you get three people to join you, and there are seven people who were not part of the original tzibur, and they desperately need the kaddish and kedusha. Then, if you drop down another few lines in the middle, he quotes psukim and tanakh to prove that all you need is seven. And then he says yesh omer afilu v'shisha, that all you need is six. And then you gather together another four people and you start with Kaddish and Baruch. Then he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yosha, all you need is five. So we've gone from 10 down to 7, down to 6, down to 5. And then Tosfos himself says, Nirali Afilu B'Shlosha, all you need is 3. And just gather together another 7. Then if you drop down another few lines, you know, all this is based on Psukim and Tanakh. He gets to the Talmidei Rashi, Pirshu Mishmo, they had a different quote of Rashi, it doesn't seem to reflect our Rashi, Be'afilu Bishvil Echad. And so one person missed Kriyat Shema, Kaddish and Baruch Hu and Kaddish. We're going to gather together another 9 people for his benefit. And here in the Yalkut HaBi'urim he summarizes, he says, Tosus Heviu Shito Shonos, Bishvil Kama Noshim Parsim Al Hashma, Yeshom Shemaspik Shiva, Umitzar from Shlosha Sheshomukar. Yesh omrim shisha, yesh omrim chamisha, yesh omrim shlosha. V'talmid Rashi, talmid Rashi omrim b'shmo, sha'af im echad shalo shoma yifros al hashma. So we have here a summary of all the shitas, and in the footnotes here on the bottom, he tries to explain the reasoning behind each one of these shitas. But he tells you for that you have to look in the Darkei Moshe, you have to look in the Mishnah Berurah, and he has a whole list of them for us. So Belinetta will try to do that for tomorrow. Because, you know, when you have so many different shitas, you wonder, what's it all about?
Is that when we do Barfu at the end of davening for people who come late?
I think so. I'm not mistaken. It's not the real
Makoto. It's for the late comers.
It's for the late comers.
That's
my understanding.
Yes, so it's for the late comers.
Okay. Now, remember I told you that we learned something from our Mishnah, and we learned something from that which is omitted from our Mishnah. That's going to be the Bala Mo'or. The Bala Mo'or wants to know why Kriyas HaMegillah is not mentioned here in the Mishnah. You know, we have a Mishnah, Masechta Megillah, why forget Megillah? And he quotes the Gemara on Daf Gimel, and Rav Asi says that Megillah Bein Bezman Bein Shalom Bezman Basara. So at least according to Rav Asi, we need a minyan of Asara to read the Megillah. Okay, Rav disagrees, and he holds that only Shalom Bezman. That means, let's say, for example, the Bnei HaKfarim reading it on Yud Alfi Beis Gimel, they require a minyan. But even so, that should also be mentioned in the Mishnah, and certainly how much more so according to Rav Asi, that there's no such thing, there's no entity of Kiyum Mitzvah Megillah without Asara.
Wait, so. One person reading on Purim, according to the first reading, one person reading on Purim for the benefit of another person who missed the Megillah reading, they can't do that? Is that, I mean?
It depends. If you're talking about Rav Asi, then Rav Asi would say that you need a minyan. Now, did any of the members of that minyan already hear the Megillah? I don't know. That depends upon our whole discussion here about Parson al Shema.
So a person who wasn't able to come to Shul again.
He's got to get nine people together. That's going to Rav Asi. And according to Rav, and that's the way we reflect it, it depends. If it's Megillah Bizmano, he can read it B'yachin. But if it's Megillah Shalom Bizmano, which means Yad Alfi Beis Yud Gimel, then he would have to get together, even according to Rav, another 10 people. So why is Megillah left out? So the Ramban gives a fascinating answer in the Milchemes Hashem. You know, he's always there to answer up to Balavar's objections. And he says the following. Everything listed in the Mishnah is a chovas tzibur, which means the obligation is generated by the tzibur. Again, what number of people make up the tzibur, that we have to get into, but the obligation evolves upon the tzibur, if I can use that term. Says the Ramban, not so in the case of Megillah. In the case of Megillah, the obligation evolves upon the Yachid, the individual, just that he cannot facilitate, he cannot implement his Chiyuv without a minion. He's got to get together a minion, according to, let's say, Rav Asi, even a Megillah Bizman, etc., etc. So this is fascinating, because what's going to turn out here, that when we define a Davish of a Kedusha, and we're going to try to find the common link between all the cases that are enumerated here in this Mishnah, the Ramban would argue that a Davar Shem Kedusha means a Chovas Tzibur. Now, Reb Chaim Brisker was of a different ilk. You know, he was of the opinion that every single Yachid is obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. So let's say on a Monday or on a Thursday, if Reb Chaim was on a train going from Brisk to Bialystok, he would get off in the middle of the train in order to catch a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. He held that it was a Chovas Yachid. The Ramban holds that Megillah is a Chovas Yachid, but Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Tzibur. So according to Reb Chaim, you're going to have to understand why the Mishnah omitted mention of Kriyas HaMegillah.
If it's a Chovas Tzibur, then, I mean, how do you then, and the opinions where, that we were just discussing in Tosfos, where it's 7 and 6 and 5 and, you know, even 1, that's clearly, I mean, is that a Chovas Tzibur just because one person wasn't?
I don't know. Very difficult question, which I want to cover tomorrow. I want to leave something for tomorrow.
Oh, there's plenty.
But what I do, right? But I do want to talk to you about Kriyat Shema. What's that? It's the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. So Rashi says, Omer bracha rishon shel Kriyat Shema. Says the Bar Tanura, he says that According to Rashi, this is mind-boggling. I've never come across this. Maybe you guys know about this. I don't. This to me is brand new. Rashi holds that a yochid does not read the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. That only a tzibur can read the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. Now, what's unique about the first bracha of Kriyat Shema that requires a tzibur?
Kedusha.
So that's what the Bar Tanur, that's how he interprets Rashi. He says, "Ein omer bracha zubi yochid kevin sheish bo kedusha." Wow, that's wild. Meaning, according to Shitas Rashi, every time I miss a minyan on Shacharis, I have to skip the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. I can't believe it. It's just mind-boggling. But that's what he quotes in the Bar Tanur. So, Mamel, if you missed minyan, you didn't recite the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. So, to the same extent that you desperately need Kaddish and Baruch Hu and Kedusha, you also need the first bracha of Kriyat Shema. What? Haran b'chidusha, maybe it's divrei arayvit, shemutal omer kedusha zubi yachid, kevon she'eino el sipur dvar bi'alma masha omer b'hofanim. We're just telling over what the, the Ofanim l'chayis HaKodesh, what they're doing up in Shamayim, but we're not actively involved in reciting kedusha. But then again, according to the Ravid, then you go back to square one. So why in Parson Hashma do we require reciting the first bracha of Kriyat Shema? If you all like the Bar Tanura, it's about as smooth as you can get.
Rav Vadi Yosef, I know, specifically ruled in his Ilkut Yosef that the, and I'm sure others rule like this too, but I just remember learning this, that the, if you're not with the minyan when you're davening, like you're behind, you do not say Kedusha with them when they say it during the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, because that's a Kedusha, that's on the yachid, it's not on the tzibur. He specifically says that. And so you don't say it, you don't stop what you're doing to say it with them.
Because you have to fulfill your obligation,
right,
as a yachid.
So you just keep keep going with your davening.
Now Rashi is saying that maybe it's a chovah on the yachid, but you can't fulfill that chovah without a tzibur. That's how the Bar Tanur understood Rashi. The Ravid has no problem reading the first bracha of Kriyat Shema B'Yochid. You're just a secret dvarim. You're just telling over what they do in the Ofanim. And the Tosfos Yonta points out that according to the Ravid, Tzarich Lomar, now we have to understand, so why do we recite the bracha Rishona? Because I was Yotzi already my bracha Rishona as a Yochid. Why is it different than the bracha Shnia or the bracha Sliachreo? He says, Kevet Shashliach Tzibra Omer Lehem Baruchu. He says that the bracha Rishon is a din in Baruch Hu. Tzricha levarech shum bracha. We need some sort of bracha, because what does Baruch Hu mean? I'm calling you to attention. It's like the mfaked in Tzal. He calls me to the attention, right? I'm mfaked, I'm all dumb, right? So he says, I'm calling you Baruch Hu. Now bless God. So what are you going to do? Imlokein, if he doesn't bless God, nirim ki'ilu kofrim chas v'sholim. Sha'omer lehem levarech, v'yenem chafetzim levarech.
But isn't that response a bracha?
He's saying that that you need what's called a bracha b'shem u'malchus. In other words, not just some sort of Baruch Hashem. The Baruch Hashem is a nice minhag, but he's saying you need a cheftishal bracha. That's the Tosfos Yonta. And again, you know what? I would applaud the Tosfos Yonta, because if you're not going to accept Rashi, you really are totally baffled here. What is this bracha Rishon all about? And it comes out. Yeah, go ahead.
It ends with Yisrael
Maror
and it starts with Yisrael
Orochosha.
Yeah.
It's
a double.
And it's one bracha. It has a psicha and a chasim. That's what's called a matbea aruch, and it requires an opening bracha and a closing bracha.
And I heard from a rabbi you should stand when you say Yisrael Orochosha, because it's a response to bracha.
That's interesting. Okay, I think there's another reason why. Oh, so you know what?
We sit through the whole thing anyway.
Maybe that would be true. Okay, on personal Shema. Okay, let me just see how we're doing. Sorry. Now let's just mention the Gaonim, because we said that the word Parsim, according to Rashi, means that we sort of split Kriyat Shema into parts by reading the first bracha. So let's see where I can find the Shitas HaGaon. Oh, Parson al Hashma, Pirush Rashi, Kigon Shoyu Asara Noshim, Sis Palu Kolecha Vifnei Atzma, Lo Shomu, Lo Baruch, Lo Kaddish, Lo Kedusha, Bola Bes Desaknesis, Liapa Shikora Tzibra Sashma, Vis Palu Kvar, is Omid Echem Evi Omer Kaddish, U Baruch, Baruch Rishon Shal Kriyat Shema, Mishum Kedusha Sheyesh Ba. Ve'akak Mispalim Tefillah Shmona Esrei Mishum Kedusha Sheyesh Ba. Uparsa Miloshen Prusa Chatzi Dovar Hainu Shechat Omrim Rak Chelek Mibirchas Kriyat Shema Rak Birchas Yotzer Or. Haran Pirush B'Shem HaGaonim Ein Parsim Ein Maschilim. You hear this, Rav Osai? That the word parsim doesn't mean a fraction, like in the matzah, you know, that we eat on Leil Pesach, right? You need a matzah prusa, broken matzah. No, the word parsim equals maschilim. Again, you'd have to go through all of Shas and figure out how the Gaonim know this. Vahainu, shalom maschil ha'echad bederchas kriyat shma, lahotzi es kulam, bepachos me'asara. So there are two chidushim here in the Gaonim. Chiddush number one is that back in the day, one person would read Birchas Kriyat Shema on behalf of the entire tzibur. Maybe they didn't have sidurim, maybe they were ignorant, but that was the accepted tradition. So if one person is reading Birchas Kriyat Shema on behalf of the tzibur, then what the Mishnah is telling you is that don't even dream of beginning the process of Birchas Kriyat Shema, in which one reads on behalf of this, without having asara. So again, if you're a big Talmud Chacham and you know the Birchas Kriyat Shema by heart, or you have a printed siddur, then you could stay home and read the Birchas Kriyat Shema. But if you're one of the tzibur and you don't know, and you're not capable of reading your own bracha, you want to be yotze with the bracha of the shliach tzibur, then that's impossible. We have to wait till we get 10 people, and only then can he read the bracha on behalf of the tzibur. Why? He says, let me just read the end of the Gaonim so we have the whole picture. He says, V'ein ze kishar birchas ha-mitzvah. It's not like a classic birchas ha-mitzvah she'echad motzi es chaveru midin shomea ke'one. So we should apply the principle of shomea ke'one, and therefore if I hear your bracha, we don't need asara for that. There's never a requirement of asara in order for you to be motzi me in a bracha shomea ke'one. But here, he says that the bracha is different. And it has a special status. He says that since this bracha has an element of kedusha in it, it becomes a bracha chashuva, and mipnei chashivusa shal bracha hechmiru ba chachamim she'en motzim ba a motzim ba can be motzi you bepachos mi asor. And he has two footnotes here, which he says the following, that although there is a din of shomea ke'on in Birchas HaMitzvah, we're not sure exactly what the status of Birchas Kriyat Shema is, because, for example, in Birchas HaNenim, I can only be motziyu if I'm chayav in a Birchas HaNenim. In other brachas, we simply go with shomea ke'on. The question is where to classify Kriyat Shema. And he says, after bracha sheba arvis, he says, lo chilku chachamim. So in other words, in Birchas Kriyat Shema, in Ma'ariv, in Arvis, there is no Kedusha. So you would say it's not a Bracha Chashuva. And then according to the Gaonim, let's apply the principle of Shomei HaKa'onim. No. Lo Chilku Chachamim. They made a separate principle that knows of no exception, that with regard to Birchas Kriyat Shema, you need a minyan in order to create a tzibur, and through the tzibur you can circumvent the requirement of Shomei HaKa'onim. So there are 1,000 questions we could ask here, but we'll stop here for today. I'll thank everyone for coming. And everyone should have a great day.